Hi, this is Daniela Cambone. Welcome back to the Daniela Cambone Show, now on ITM Trading. Today, we are talking about the number one warning sign that capital controls may be coming sooner than you may think. Joining me today to talk about this is Nick Giambruno. He's a renowned speculator, international investor. He's the founder of Financial Underground and a frequent contributor to International Man. Nick, so good to see you. It's been way too long. How have you been?
Hey, great to see you too, Danielle. It has been too long. I've been quite busy. I follow the global macro situation very closely. And with all that's going on geopolitically and financially in the world, I have my work cut out for me.
Well, I was going to say, and right now you're in Argentina. Talk about being in the middle of a country going through major economic change. And I'd love to get your insights on that as well. But the reason I was like, man, I got to get Nick back on the show is I read with great interest one of your recent postings in International Man, the headline, the number one warning sign capital controls are coming soon and four ways to beat them. I like the fact you provide solutions. So let's talk about that because this is the opening line of that this article. Weekends and holidays are the perfect time to catch people off guard. Like a street thug committing a mugging, capital controls blindside most people. Otherwise, they wouldn't be effective. So let's start with the basics here. First and foremost, what do you define as capital controls?
Well, capital controls come in many different flavors, but the underlying concept is that the government is preventing you from moving your money or spending it how you see fit. It should be something that's abhorrent to somebody who values economic freedom or lives in a free society. Seen the capital controls implemented in countries that are in dire financial straits, typically in the middle of a financial or banking or economic crisis, they slap on capital controls to prevent money from leaving the country. Now, what happens next? It doesn't take much imagination. Usually there's some kind of wealth confiscation. So you can think of capital controls as like a surprise measure to trap money within a country so that it's optimized for the government to steal. And that's happens in countries that have financial crises, banking crises. Seen it happen countless times. And it's happened in the US in the past too. So I think it can happen again.
And I want to talk about the United States, obviously, but you say weekends and holidays are the perfect time to catch people off guard. Do you have examples of when that's happened?
Oh, absolutely. Well, look, you can't announce capital controls ahead of time because what will people do? They'll take their money out of the country. Imagine if people said, if, you know, the government of Greece or Cyprus said, you know what, we're going to have capital controls and then a 20% wealth confiscation on Wednesday. They say this on Monday. What do you think people are going to do on Tuesday? So they can't do that. They have to take people by surprise. What are some examples? We saw this happen in Cyprus, about, it's over 10 years now. But we see this typically happen in many other countries too. And weekends and long weekends in particular and holidays are perfect time. The idea is you want to catch somebody off guard. And the way you catch most people off guard is to catch them on a weekend or on a long weekend where most people aren't thinking that something like this can happen. But this is exactly when something like this can happen.
You mentioned Cyprus, Argentina, Lebanon, Venezuela, Iceland, Greece. We remember that one. Turkey, Russia, Ukraine, China, India, South Korea, governments in countless countries. And of course, the question is, well, could it really happen here in Canada or the United States? But we have seen examples of this.
Okay. Yes, it has happened in the United States. Don't forget the U.S. government forbid average citizens from owning gold bullion from 1933 to 1974. That's a long time. And that's a form of capital controls. Like I said, capital controls come in many different flavors, but restrictions on gold and precious metals and monetary alternatives, that is the key. They don't want you to go to alternatives. They want you to go into their fiat confetti where they can eat more easily steal it. So it has absolutely happened. And when did that happen? That happened in the depths of the Great Depression, where FDR came out and surprised people and said, guess what? Well, previously, you know, the people had gold and the dollar was linked to gold. He confiscated it and then he revalued it and basically took the purchasing power away from citizens. So there's a wealth. It's the same pattern. It's capital controls always precede a wealth confiscation. And that is a perfect example. The 1933 example in the US, and then it stayed
Yep.
illegal. I mean, there was serious prison consequences. You could go to jail for up to federal
10 years
prison
in
for up to
prison, you
10
write, 10
years.
and a $10,000 fine, which would be $235,000 equivalent today. And Nick, let's not forget Canada during the trucker strike, we saw bank accounts frozen.
Oh, certainly. Look, that's another ball of wax, bank accounts. But yes, a bank account really is vulnerable to all sorts of problems, capital controls, wealth confiscations. The money, simply, I tell people three things about bank accounts. The money isn't your money, it's the bank's money. The money isn't even there, even if it was your money. And the money isn't money, it's fake money, it's fiat money, it's confetti. And this is what people have in bank accounts. So bank accounts are very, very precarious.
Well, because we grew up thinking the banks are your safe place. Like you have, this is the, who else could you trust with your money, right?
Yes, but you got to think, you got to do critical thinking and not just rely on what has worked in the past, because those three things that I just said are absolutely true about the banking system, and most people have no idea. They think the bank has some money reserved for them in the vault for them, especially that has
Yes.
like marked for them that they can come pick up whenever they want. That is absolutely not the case, and it's the opposite of informed consent, in my opinion.
So let's talk about, because like I said, you provide solutions. So four things we can do to prepare for this situation. Actually, before we get there, because a lot of what you're speaking of, I don't know if you read The Great Taking by David Webb. It's kind of
I
a book
did.
that went viral recently, but right. So I mean, and he speaks of this, right? Of you know, another depression-like event happening where they could take all your possessions, basically, your house, your car. The money in your bank.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, that is another thing too, is that we're talking about the money in the bank account is not really what most people think of it is. It absolutely the same is true of stocks and bonds in your brokerage account. It is not how people imagine it, because you are not technically the owner of the stocks and bonds in your brokerage account. The broker is, and you have a promise from the broker. You have an IOU. It is absolutely not the same thing. And the reason is because if the broker ever got in trouble, or if there was another widespread financial collapse, guess what? The stocks and bonds that you think you own are you don't really own them. They're going to be used to satisfy the creditors of the bank, or excuse me, of the brokerage. And guess what? You're an unsecured creditor, so they're going to be used to satisfy somebody else. So yeah, it really a lot of the stuff in the financial system is a big illusion that most people don't understand, and it's ripe for problems in the next crisis, to say the least.
So let's get to solutions here. Walk us through four things we could do or and actually should be doing.
Absolutely. So, how do you look? The thing with capital controls is you're never going to know the exact moment that they're going to come. However, it's much better to be a year early in your preparation than a second too late, because once they're implemented, it's too late. You can't do anything about it. So, four things. One is have a foreign bank account. This is not really the ideal thing, but it's better than nothing. So, people in Cyprus, if they had a bank account in Switzerland, that wealth was fine. The politicians in Cyprus couldn't touch it. Number two, foreign real estate. If you can afford to have foreign real estate, that's great, because that's a form of wealth that's outside of the borders of your home country. That's not going to be affected in capital controls. Three, I think Bitcoin is an excellent way to mitigate capital controls, because it's a very portable form of wealth, very easy to subvert capital controls. And four, physical gold held in a safe jurisdiction. So say like the Cayman Islands, Singapore, Switzerland. You want physical gold. You don't want you want it allocated in your name. You don't want any other competing claims, because when the financial if the if and when the financial system really starts to collapse, you absolutely do not want to have any sort of ambiguity on ownership. You want to have direct ownership. You don't want other competing claims. So you want to have that physical gold with no other competing claims in wealth-friendly jurisdictions. Those are the four ways you can really preempt capital controls. And really, preempting capital controls is preempting wealth confiscation, because wealth confiscation always comes after capital controls.
So, a couple questions. On the first one, how difficult is it? I mean, I know I have bank accounts in other countries, but I have citizenship in those countries. How difficult is it to open a bank account, say in Switzerland, for example? I mean, do you need to show that you have a residence there, or, I mean, How hard is it? Or maybe it's not.
You know, this is a constantly changing thing. It's not some, it's the requirements are changing always. It's not static. It's a moving target. Typically, it's no, it's not easy. You need to be a high net worth individual, and you have to jump through a lot of hoops. Yes, you can put money in a bank account in another foreign country aside from Switzerland, but banks, pretty much banks all over the world have the same problems that I just mentioned a few moments ago. So yes, it's better than nothing. So let's say you're living in Argentina and you see things falling apart. Yes, having a bank account in a foreign bank account somewhere else is a great idea. But that's not the
Yeah.
end all be all.
So you like Bitcoin and gold, right? You're one of those rare people, I say, that you see both those assets as being a solution outside of the system.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you got to keep the big picture in mind here. The main, we're talking about money. And when I, money isn't confusing. Money is a very simple thing. It's just a tool that sends value, to store and exchange value. In other words, to send value through time and space. That's all money is. It's a tool to do that. So what is the dominant money in the world right now? It's fiat currency. Look at all the base money in the world. It's about $100 trillion, give or take. Then you, of course, you got the bond market, which is some more. And then all the gold in the world is like what, 13.5 trillion-ish? And all the Bitcoin in the world is about 1 trillion. So look, that's the universe of money here. And the biggest thing is the fiat currency system. So yes, I think gold and Bitcoin are superior to the fiat currency system. And I think as long as that exists, you've got two alternatives. Once the fiat currency system has totally collapsed and all of that $100 trillion has evaporated out of it, then I think that is when the gold versus Bitcoin thing is going to truly play out. But in the meantime, while we still have this horrible fiat system, you've got two very good free market alternative forms of money.
On the Bitcoin, right? Are you not concerned? I mean, we hear all the time, politicians hinting at the fact that they'd want to stop Bitcoin. So does that part about Bitcoin concern you that, could governments prevent or stop Bitcoin?
I think no. And I think the proof in that is, I guess they could inhibit it in their geographic region. But let's just say this. Let's say the US and Russia had all-out nuclear war and it destroyed the entire Northern Hemisphere. Europe is gone, North America's gone. Well, Bitcoin would be just fine in South America because of the way the network works. So really, there's not much they can do. And then you look at China, the Chinese government is pretty powerful. They've tried to ban it a number of times. Hasn't really worked. So the bottom line is you can't really ban Bitcoin any more than you can ban mathematics. And because if you can just memorize 12 words, which is how many popular wallets back up their funds, you can potentially store billions of dollars just in your head. You can't ban that. I mean, yes, they can try, but it's really not going to work out well for them.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm assuming you wouldn't want to own the ETFs, neither in gold or Bitcoin.
No, because you don't need to. Because why? Why take on unnecessary? Look, we're talking about a potential collapse in the financial system, and we're talking about the great taking. The last thing you want to do is to have IOUs of any kind, because you're not going to be at the top of the pecking order when these when it comes time to
Yeah.
divvy to figure out who owns what in these competing claims. You want to have unambiguous, clear, direct ownership of your assets, and physical gold allows you to do that, and Bitcoin allows you to do that. So why add on third parties? I think it's a terrible idea. Look, I know some people have retirement accounts, some people don't have the technical knowledge, some people don't want to store the gold, for example. Fine, but have open eyes. Keep your eyes open on the risks that you're taking. It is absolutely not this. Owning an IOU is absolutely not the same thing as owning the underlying asset without any claims.
Let me ask you this, because you've also been doing quite a bit of writing on central bank digital currencies. Obviously, it's a topic we've been covering for a long time here at ITM Trading. Your thoughts or insights as to how soon we could see them ushered in?
Yes. So probably soon. And I view that as a sign of desperation. Remember, the first central bank digital currency in the world was the Venezuelan Petro. How did that do? Did that save the Venezuelan Bolivar? No, it did not. And would a CBDC have saved the Lebanese Lira? No. Would a CBDC have saved the Argentine Peso? No. They introduced a CBDC in Nigeria. They really tried really hard. with all sorts of coercive measures and carrot and the stick. And guess
Yeah.
what? One out of 200 Nigerians adopted it. So no, the bottom line with CBDCs is they're just the same fiat currency scam on steroids. So it allows for even more currency debasement, even more control. So it makes a crappy currency even worse. So I'm not too worried about them. Theoretically, yes, they're very scary, but in practice, they are just going to accelerate the demise of the fiat system, in my opinion.
So you think if even if they are ushered in, they'll ultimately fail, and that's why you're not afraid of them?
Correct. I think it's guaranteed they will self-destruct. Look, communism was guaranteed to self-destruct too, but look how long communism took to collapse. It took generations. I don't think it's going to take that long with CBDCs. Why? Because
So
there's a very easy way to opt out of CBDCs. Buy gold and buy Bitcoin. That's how you opt out. Anybody can do it. It's
okay,
very easy.
but let's play out the scenario, right? Because Christine Lagarde's already, she had a New Year's message that, the euro is going to soon go digital and whatnot. So let's just play it out here in the US. The dollar, they force us to go digital, right? We're paying with this for everything. So there's no more paper money. But how would that just not work in your eyes and fail? Because they want it to
Well,
work. They want us to
because
be on digital. They're going to make it happen at any cost.
yes. Well, look, the thing is that there will be inevitable black markets, and I don't like the term black market. It's a black market is really just a free market that exists because of government regulations. Look, Argentina, for example, where I'm at in the moment, they used to restrict U.S. dollars. They said you can only use the Argentine peso. It's illegal to use dollars in most circumstances. Did that stop people? No. All it did is it created an enormous underground free market for dollars or black market. I think the exact same thing is going to happen here. If they're trying to force everybody to use these crummy CBDCs that are debasing faster than the regular fiat currency, and they're forcing people to use this and saying you can't use anything else, what do you think that's going to do? It's going to cause an underground market, and I guarantee you that is what will happen.
Final point, Nick. Yes, you are in Argentina. You're really in the middle of the action. Tell me, what's it like being in Argentina amidst all the drastic economic reforms Milei is imposing?
Well, it's fascinating to see because what you have with Milei is you have the world's first anarcho-capitalist president, which kind of sounds like a contradiction in terms, but he actually really gets a lot of the stuff. So one thing that he did that is not very well known is that he abolished legal tender laws. It needs to see we need to see if it will stick. Legal tender laws are laws that force you to use the local fiat currency. He basically has said, use whatever you want to use as currency. If you want to use gold as money, if you want to use Bitcoin as money, if you want to use milk as money, he said, use whatever you want as money. We're not going to punish you. And that, I think, has not really been digested by the local Argentines nor the world. So I think there's a lot of potential. Look, it's uncertain. The jury is certainly out. We'll have to wait and see. But there is reason to be cautiously optimistic.
Nick Giambruno of the Financial Underground, thank you so much for joining us and thank you for watching. If you have any questions regarding building a strategy based on precious metals, gold, silver, please feel free to reach out to one of my incredible colleagues at ITM Trading by booking a Calendly appointment in the link below. It's in the description. And don't forget to sign up at DanielaCamboni.com so you can stay on top of all this great content. That's it for me. We'll see you soon.
Hey folks, welcome to the show. I believe it's Tuesday, the 5th of March. If not, I apologize. But here's the good news. Today, right now, I talked to our friend John Zmirak. John, welcome.
Hey, Eric. Always good to talk to you, even when the
Well, it's good to process what we're going through in the country and the world with you. Where shall we start?
Well, I wanted to talk about last week's big story. This Air Force member named Aaron Bushnell, who is being he's being put around as some kind of martyr. He set himself on fire, burned himself to death to protest what he called the Israeli genocide in Gaza and America's part in committing this genocide. This should just be some tragic story for like a psychology journal. And, some a subject for prayer and maybe fasting, like what kind of demons take people over? But this demon is taking over our society. This demon of fake victimism, where you look for someone and pretend they're a victim and claim you identify with them in order to make yourself seem like a martyr. I mean, the Bushnell case was a particularly extreme one, but basically, what Bushnell did, set himself on fire to protest Israelis defending themselves against rape, murder, and genocide. They don't get to do that because they're white and they're privileged. They don't get to resist genocide. They have to surrender to it. And Aaron Bushnell, as a white guy, is going to burn himself alive in solidarity with the Muslim rapists, murderers, and terrorists of Hamas. Aaron Bushnell is what our elites want all of us to be. They want us all to destroy ourselves. They want us to open our borders, not enforce our laws, destroy our constitution, turn our churches inside out. It is a bizarre thing. What we are dealing with in today's left is not a coherent, if mistaken, worldview like Karl Marx. And in my piece at stream.org, I explain this. The piece is called Aaron Bushnell Is the Barabbas Our Pilots Want Us to Worship? And in it, I talk about Marxism. Marxism is wrong, okay? Marxism is crude, it's driven by resentment. Karl Marx dabbled in Satanism. He hated Jews, he hated Christians, he hated Black people. But Marxism was a rational, coherent worldview that promised something. It promised a kind of Christian utopia. Marxism is a Christian heresy. It's a variant of end times utopianism, which said that the kingdom of the New Jerusalem is real and it's possible, but there is no God. We have to build the New Jerusalem on earth by our own human hands, spilling as much blood as necessary in order to do it. That's crazy, but at least it's comprehensible that people would want the New Jerusalem. What the contemporary left, what the woke people want, is nothing like that. They don't have a goal. They don't have an end state. They don't make rational arguments. Have you heard anybody say in any quarter that letting 9 million illegal immigrants swarm into the country without even being checked or vetted under obviously false refugee claims? Has anybody said this is good for America, that this helps America? Has anyone offered any arguments on why we need 9 million high school dropouts without any documents swarming around our cities for jobs that don't exist? No one is saying this is a good thing for America. Nobody's even saying that they're really refugees. They're not even really pretending. Everybody knows they're not being persecuted in Honduras for their religion or their political views. Everybody knows there's no mass persecution in El Salvador and Mexico. There's not even the fig leaf of rationality for what the left is doing. Nobody's really saying that you should let violent felons who attack people on the subways of New York, you should just let them go without bail. No one's offering why this is a good idea. They're not making policy or even moral arguments. They're just doing it. What they're doing is reminds me of Jim Jones. Jim Jones, the cult leader who ended up in Guyana. People don't remember, he was a woke evangelical. He was a woke leftist pastor. He was one of the guys who had a rainbow flag. He was one of the first ones to have a gay-friendly Christian church in San Francisco. And he became the political street muscle of Willie Brown and Harvey Milk, the gay activist. There's a great book by my friend Dan Flynn, Cult City. Everybody should get it. It's about how the Nancy Pelosi, Willie Brown, Kamala Harris left didn't just embrace Jim Jones, they relied on him. He was their turnout operation to win elections. And in this book, you find Rosalynn Carter praising Jim Jones. You find all sorts of people on the Christian left talking about Jim Jones as the model of the church of the future. Jim Jones ended up bringing everybody down to a compound in Guyana and convincing them to commit suicide. There was no rational goal. There was no plausible utopia they were aiming at. It was destruction for its own sake. And that's why I call today's Democrats the Gadarene swine. I don't demonize my opponents. I think they are under the control of demons. And I rage at the demons who are driving them down the cliff to drown in the sea. And there's no other kind of explanation. And in the column, I contrast when Aaron Bushnell burned himself alive in support of genocidal rapists who want to kill everybody in Israel, Cornel West, who claims to be a Christian theologian and teaches at Harvard, did this public eulogy, basically, rest in power, brother. You died in solidarity. You know, we want to remember you as a figure of greatness. Okay. Contrast that with Jake Gardner. Jake Gardner was a U.S. Marine combat veteran, highly decorated for valor, ran a bar in Omaha, Nebraska, that was attacked during the George Floyd riots. Remember, the George Floyd riots happened to protest the death of George Floyd, a career criminal drug addict who died in police custody. All the cops were in jail. The system was working, supposedly. They were being punished. So what were the riots about? They were about nothing. They were about destruction for its own sake and terrorizing people in the streets. Well, looters come into Jake Gardner's bar, one of them, multiple felon, threatens, they're stealing stuff. Jake's elderly father is there. One of the felons menaces his elderly father, who's, I think, on the knocked to the floor. Jake tries to defend his father. This felon puts him in a headlock, is trying to choke him out. Then and only then, Jake Gardner reaches back and shoots the guy who's choking him. The local prosecutor sees the video, because it's all on video, and says, yeah, this was self-defense. Mobs descend on the prosecutor's house for 3 weeks until the prosecutor says, okay, you know what? I'm hiring a special prosecutor. Some Soros-connected special prosecutor charges Jake Gardner with first-degree murder and hate crimes. He gets evicted. And when he tries to do a defense fund, GoFundMe shuts it down. So he can't even defend himself against the charge that he's a white nationalist hate criminal for defending his elderly father and his business from a crazy felon. Jake Gardner commits suicide. God rest his soul. When Jake Gardner died, a state senator from Nebraska went on Twitter to gloat about his death, to say, this is a good start. Well, we need more. So, just
John,
to summarize,
we're going to go to break here. I don't. We got plenty more coming up, talking to John Zmirak. But just to sum up, folks, there is no rational explanation for what is happening, and that's why many people are understanding. Oh, this is evil. This is evil. There is no rational political explanation. It is satanic evil, and we need to fight it as such. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual war. We'll be right back with John Zmirak. Talking to my friend John Zmirak. John, you've just outlined what we are facing in America, and it makes no sense. You've made the case, I've made the case, that unless you understand that it's a spiritual battle, we're dealing with evil. It doesn't make any kind of fig leaf rational sense what is happening in America.
Let's look at another case. Does anybody really think that suddenly, out of nowhere, just after Bruce Jenner did a magazine cover for Vanity Fair, suddenly scientists have discovered 47 genders instead of two? And suddenly there's a wave of transgenderism among kids that never happened before. All of a sudden, it's emerging. It's all of a sudden, which is amazing scientific discovery. We discovered that, like, one out of six kids or something is transgender. It's just weird how that was discovered after Bruce Jenner did Vanity Fair and school psychiatrists started encouraging these ideas among children. Does anybody really think it is good for kids to have their healthy body parts cut off and have their bodies dosed with dangerous steroids of the kind that are illegal for athletes to take, but we're going to dose kids with it? Does anybody think these kids being convinced to become transgender and sterilized and castrated that they're going to do better than if we had left them alone and given them some counseling and maybe given them some guidance. No, nobody really thinks that. Nobody's making the case. They're not even doing scientific studies because when you do the studies, it turns out the surgery and the hormones don't help, and the suicide rate stays the same or goes up. So nobody wants to know if our immigration policies are helping or hurting. Nobody wants to know what Israel really faces in Gaza. Nobody wants to know whether George Floyd was really killed or died of a drug overdose. Nobody wants to know if Jake Gardner was legitimately defending himself. They don't want to know. They're not interested in the truth. This is not just ideology. This is Hitler in the bunker level delusion and demonism. This is pure negation. This is the satanic rejection of God and his order and the sexes and the family. This is the love of death for its own sake.
Right.
That is what the Democratic Party stands for. That is what Reichskirche Christians like Russell Moore and David French, who want to collaborate with these satanic enemies, that is what they are encouraging. That is what rhino swamp Republicans who collaborate with the Democrats, that is what they are fostering. In the case of the Republicans and the so-called Christians, they don't want destruction for its own sake. They want 30 pieces of silver. They want a mess of pottage. They want a few years of peace and quiet in their gated communities, and they want to feel good about themselves. They want to smear themselves with white guilt sunblock, which is SPF 15,000, where to the whitest thing you can do is to suffer white guilt. There is no group on the face of the earth that hates itself except white people. So white guilt is the whitest thing you could possibly do. So if you want to be as white as possible, embrace woke, self-hating white guilt, because only white people do that. It's like some weird genetic disorder, when in fact it is demonic.
And spiritually, when you say demonic, let's be very clear, in case anybody wants to kind of figure out how this works.
Yeah.
God wants to bless us. So he wants us to see our sins, repent, and then turn in the right direction. He wants to redeem us. If you ever go wrong, he wants to redeem you and bless you so that you can walk in victory. The atheistic satanic left does not want to redeem what goes wrong. They want to curse it and curse it and curse it until it dies. So if you think, oh, I've done something wrong, I had a racist thought, whatever, they go, yes, you can't repent of that. You can't turn your life around and be a force for good. No, you're evil, and we curse you, and we want you to die. So the noble thing for you to do is just die,
Set
go
yourself on fire. Set yourself on
away.
fire.
Yes, be consumed with guilt and die. It's a satanic project, and it's very deceptive and confusing. That's why we try to
Selfish.
talk about it on this program so people can understand it is inhuman, it is anti-human, it is evil, and it is a curse. The opposite of, hey, we got some stuff wrong, let's get it right, let's turn in the right direction. No. They don't believe in redemption. It is cursing unto death,
The
and
Democrats
that is really
have
what
a,
we're talking about.
people say the Democrats under Biden do not have a message. They do. They do. And it's biblical. Curse God and die. That is the Democrats' biblical message. They are Job's tormentors, goading him to curse God and kill yourself. Why else would the Democrats try to outlaw crisis pregnancy centers that offer women alternatives to abortion? You would think if all they're concerned about is giving women freedom of choice and personal bodily autonomy. If a woman walks into a pregnancy center that offers her diapers and infant formula and financial support for having her baby, you would think they wouldn't care. They want to close these places down. They want to put these people in prison. That is not human. That is not libertarianism. That is not even just the sexual revolution. No, that is the father of lies, who is a murderer from the beginning, trying to drag souls into the pit of hell. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what the Democratic Party and the swamp Republicans, that is what they stand for. It is that stark and it is that plain. And I find people, they want to condescend you. Oh, you're some snake handling Bible thumper. Oh, you're so crude. You're so primitive. You know what? They don't try that with me because I have 40 IQ points on these people. So they just shut up.
John, it's always ultimately funny. It's tragic and it's funny because it doesn't make any rational sense. And so this is the classic case of, when we talk about terrorism, they want to terrorize you into silence, into just going along with things because they can't rationally make any sense of this. There's no upside. Basically, they want to destroy people. They want to destroy America. For example, the narrative on America is evil. America is fundamentally, inherently racist and cannot be redeemed. Think how sick that is. Now, even if America were racist, you'd say, okay, let's fix it. They really don't want to fix it. They want to destroy America. They want it to go away. They don't have like, well, we're going to take America into some, promised land. No, they want America to shrivel and wither and die.
It's
And
like
so bringing in millions of people across the border, whatever it is, there is, as you said in the beginning, there is no upside. There's no plan to go anyplace. It's just destruction, 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 which is satanic.
right. And they don't have to make rational arguments for it. They whip their own followers up into a hysterical frenzy, and then they corrupt and buy off our compromised leaders. You get people like John Cornyn in Texas, who is an open borders advocate. Now, he doesn't have a rational view that I think we need this for economic development. No, he's just a political sellout. And you get the Karl Rove and the Mitch McConnell. So on the and
Thank
they're
you for not
all
calling John Cornyn a whore. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. Remember, we really desperately need your help for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Please go to metaxastalk.com. Do what you can. It's tax deductible. And let me put it bluntly, you owe them. You owe them. They're fighting for us. Go to metaxastalk.com. These folks are heroes doing what we cannot do. Go to metaxastalk.com. Please give to the Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, let me ask you, when we talked about this man who set himself on fire because of the quote unquote genocide that's happening as a result of Israel defending itself, our friend Jason Jones isn't exactly where we are on this. What does he say? What are we missing that Jason Jones is saying about this so we can at least have some nuance? Because I value his thinking on this. What is the case that he is making?
Jason's making the case that what Israel is doing in Gaza is so cruel and so indiscriminate that it's embittering the hearts of the Arab and Muslim world against Israel and the West forever, and that it ultimately hurts the state of Israel and the West. My response to this is there is nothing, absolutely nothing, Israel and the West could do to placate the Muslim world, except to set ourselves on fire and die. There is no compromise. There is nothing that would satisfy the Muslim world except if we all became Muslims. There is nothing that would satisfy the Palestinians except if the Israelis all ran into the sea and drowned themselves or became Muslims. Since there is nothing that would placate them, there is nothing that would make them stop hating us, I suggest that is what we give them, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And any concession given to them is just viewed as a sign of weakness and it's viewed with contempt. It's like appeasing Hitler. That's my view.
Well, I basically take your view on this because I think that, I mean, I guess the suggestion that the IDF doesn't care whether civilians die. I'm not sure where do people get this idea from that they are being So brutal that they don't care that civilians are dying. What am I always want to know, what am I missing that people would get this idea?
I'm sure that bad things are happening, the way bad things happened when we bombed Japan after Pearl Harbor. When you're part of a political entity like Hamas that wages genocidal war on its neighbor, there's blowback. The citizens in Dresden, a lot of them were innocent. Maybe a lot of them didn't vote for the Nazis, and a lot of them were burned alive, and there were horrible things happened in war, and we should try to minimize the impact on civilians. And I think the IDF is trying pretty hard to minimize the impact on the civilians of Gaza. But I take a rather hardline view. I don't think Israel and Gaza can coexist in the long term. I think those citizens in Gaza have to go somewhere else, where they need to find somewhere in the Arab world and
I
move
know, but
them.
that's not genocide. The point is,
Oh,
you and I would never call for genocide. So
no,
when
that
people
is.
throw that
Correct.
term around, I get very confused.
Correct. Technically, that's called genocide. The term genocide has been inflated like the currency in Germany in 1923. Moving a large group of people from one place to another against their will is now considered genocide. They use that term so sloppily. Meanwhile, after World War II, how many Germans were forced out of Poland and Czechoslovakia in a very brutal process? But it was a way of getting coexistence. In the 1990s, the US government signed off on Croatia and Serbia expelling hundreds of thousands of people into each other's territory in order to diminish the ethnic conflict. Turkey and Greece dumped lots of people in the 1920s. There was a lot of suffering there. But ultimately, if you find two peoples cannot coexist in the same territory, then you have to find a new solution. But I'm not an expert on this. I simply think any kind of hand-wringing over the humanitarian impact that occurs as a result of Hamas's genocidal attack, I think it will be 100% viewed as a sign of weakness by the Muslim world. And it will just lead them to further attacks, and it's blood in the water. So.
Well, again, when we think about what happened on October 7th, it is so unbelievably sick, so evil, so sadistic. I don't know what I would do if I were Israel, but it seems to me that I would do something very close to what they're doing. I cannot imagine that they would allow something like this ever, 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 ever to happen again, and that they're doing whatever they must do. Because what happened to their people, the rape, the sadistic mutilation, the murder, the burning alive, I hardly want to talk about it. It's horrifying. Anyway, I just thought we should touch on it. John, there's more that you want to talk about. You've written another article at stream.org.
Yeah, it's called Ask a Biden Voter Where He Stands on Fascism. No, seriously. In this
Okay,
article,
stream.org.
yes, in this
Ask
article,
a Biden voter where he stands on fascism.
right. So I posit a counterfactual. Imagine there is someone planning to vote for Joe Biden. This is the weird part. Imagine you're still on speaking terms with this person. Okay, I like wacky counterfactuals. So in that, like, let's say it's your sibling. My sister might vote for Biden, and I still want to be on speaking terms with her. So, what would I say? What would I ask such a person to try to understand their view of the world? So, I have some questions you should pose them.
Okay, hang on, hang on. We're gonna go to break. When we come back, we're gonna cover this in full. It's important, folks. Don't forget, please go to metaxastalk.com. We need your help with the Alliance Defending Freedom. You'll see the banner. They're fighting for you. You're a beneficiary of what they do. Please help them. I think we owe them. Metaxastalk.com. Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles, whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep,
promote joint comfort or detoxification support, Nutramedix has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedix, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedix has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedix. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedix.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedix. That's NutraMedix.com. Nutramedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedix, NutraMedix.com. Nutramedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They're the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen size set for $59.98, king size just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98, king size $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code ERIC. Great bargains. MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Welcome back, talking to John Smirek. So, John, you just set up this question. You're going to talk to a Biden voter, yeah, and you're going to ask them. Go ahead.
Okay, so first, do you think powerful companies, tax-exempt foundations, and unelected government officials should be able to stifle people's religious and political speech? Now, go back a few years. If you'd asked such a question of a Democrat in 2015, they would have said, that's crazy. Of course I believe in free speech. You're the one who wants to censor and ban books. You're the fascist. But nowadays, you wouldn't get that answer. You're more likely to hear some kind of weasel squeaks about, well, you know, we have to avoid harming people. We have to protect the vulnerable. We have to throttle dangerous misinformation and Putin Russian propaganda. So this whole free speech thing, it's not what we thought it was. The First Amendment is problematic. It was written by slave owners, remember? So man, this Constitution thing, it has problematic white supremacist roots. That's what they'll say. Just the way Joe Biden called half of America in a national televised speech, half of America quasi-fascist during his Darth Vader speech in September 2022. Back in October, Hillary Clinton said that those who still support Donald Trump should be subject to formal deprogramming because they should be considered cult members. Think about that. Now they're using the term Christian nationalist to dismiss any Christian who thinks he should be able to vote his conscience. They're accusing us of election denial, climate denial, vaccine misinformation. So at this point, when your sibling who's a Biden supporter, when they start saying all this, just say, okay, so First Amendment, let's cross that off. Wait, we haven't got that many left to go. There are like 19 more. Maybe we can get rid of them by the time we're done, but we'll just have a blank sheet of paper, okay? So the next question. Should the government imprison people for saying things that other people find hurtful or even hateful? Should such offenses include quoting Bible verses that offend the LGBTQ community? Should life sentences be imposed for really serious online hate speech? And finally, do you think the government should put people under house arrest because it suspects that they're likely to commit hate speech in the future? So preemptive arrest. At this point, the person you're talking to, your Biden voter friend, where I say, that's crazy. But what are you making up with these conspiracy theories? Where are you pulling this out of? Is some self-styled prophet in an aluminum building that calls itself a church telling you this? You're like, oh, no, I'm sorry. This is the law that is being proposed right now in Canada, not North Korea, not China, Canada. That's right. There's a bill called C-63. The National Post, a mainstream news outlet, explains there will be hate speech complaints against individuals would go to the Canadian Human Rights Commission, which is exempt from the ordinary rules of evidence and doesn't require proof beyond a reasonable doubt. All that's needed is a balance of the probabilities. And to advocate or promote what they call genocide, you could go to prison for life. Now, let's remember, they define genocide pretty loosely. These same Canadian institutions give money to groups aligned with Hamas. So saying you want to wipe out the Jews of Israel, that's not genocide. Remember, the Ivy League private college presidents couldn't say that it was hate speech when students chased Jewish students into their dorm rooms chanting about wiping out everyone in Israel. That we don't know, we can't say, is that hate speech? Oh, it's so complex, it's problematic. Meanwhile, the Canadian government has prosecuted Christians, tried to imprison them for reading aloud from the book of Leviticus about sexual morality. So that is what we're dealing with. And in fact, the preemptive thing, if this is according to the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms in Canada, if a judge believes there are reasonable grounds to fear, to justify the fear that someone might engage in hate speech, the court can violate the liberty interests of the accused by requiring any or all of the following. Remember, this is someone who has not even committed a supposed hate crime, but they think he's likely to. They can make him wear an ankle bracelet, electric monitoring device, obey a curfew and stay at home as determined by the judge, abstain from alcohol, drugs, or both, provide bodily substances, blood and urine, to confirm he's abstaining from drugs and alcohol, not communicate with certain designated persons, not go to certain places as determined by the judge, and surrender his or her legally owned firearms. All of this on the suspicion that he might say something that the left defines as hateful. This is
I
what's
think it'd
being
be way
proposed.
safer to move to China than to stay in Canada at this point. I can hardly believe this. I mean, honestly, you're not making this up. You're not exaggerating. This is a bill being proposed in the
By
Canadian
Justin
Liberal
Trudeau, by
State.
the government. This is not some crank. This is the official government line. This is what the government of Canada is trying to do. Put that next to Hillary Clinton saying all Trump's voters should be deprogrammed as cult members. Put that next to Joe Biden saying anyone who supports Trump is a quasi-fascist. Are you getting the picture? They are setting us up
Well,
for a
listen,
totalitarian government.
look, there's no doubt, which is why I say to my audience, folks, if you're not part of the solution, you're allowing this to happen. It is no different than a Nazi Germany. They had a few years, couple of years to stand against it, and then it was game over. We're headed to the death camps. That's where we are now. So, folks, go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com, spread that website, get your church to do a screening, be a part of the solution. John, just got a seconds left here, but I got to say, Bob Costas, the sportscaster, came on the other day, and this is how out of touch these people are. He said that he thought anybody who supported Trump was part of a cult, right? And I thought, what a staggering thing. But then Jenna Ellis, who's been a friend of mine for years, she says that she agrees with Bob Costas. And what do you think? She puts on her tweet. I thought, this is madness. We're living in a country that sees supporting Donald Trump. Many people, they use these terms, and these terms are the precursor to doing terrible things. Thank you for warning us, folks. You can find John Zmirek at stream.org, and we'll be right back. Hey there, folks. I'm coming to you from Danbury, Connecticut. I don't know how this happened, but here I am. Danbury, Connecticut. I'm in my childhood home. And Chris Himes, you know, we've got a few things to talk about. The Alliance Defending Freedom, we're doing a campaign with them. And I have said this in the past, and I'll say it again. We need people to step up. The Alliance Defending Freedom, they're like our first line of defense, or is it the last line of defense? I don't know. They are fighting for religious liberty at the Supreme Court level. We're going to be having guests on from the Alliance Defending Freedom over the weeks ahead. But when you understand what they're doing, you think, if they didn't exist, what would we do? When a court case comes up, court case after court case after court case, we've talked about them on this program, where you think this is a monstrosity, what they're doing to such and such a person or such and such a business. If it weren't for the Alliance Defending Freedom to step up pro bono, right? They're not in this for the money. They do this because they believe in America. They believe in religious liberty. And they've got some of the finest lawyers imaginable working for them, fighting for our religious liberties. And they defend people like our friend Jack Phillips of the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. He's been put through hell. And if it weren't for the Alliance Defending Freedom, folks, it could happen to you and your business. And it will happen to some of you. And you're going to say, where do I turn? Well, the Alliance Defending Freedom is there. They are just heroes. They're the real deal. There's no phoniness. There's nothing in it for them. They just believe in America. They believe in liberty. And we need, if we claim to believe in liberty, we need to step up and help them out. Please go to our website. It's MetaxasTalk.com. Again, it's just the radio website, MetaxasTalk.com. And you'll see the banner up there. But I've said this often in the past, if there's anybody that can give $15,000, and I know there's some folks listening, this is as good a cause as it gets. If you care about America, if you care about saving the republic from the anarcho-tyranny, as John Zmirak has put it, it's a great cause, the Alliance Defending Freedom. It really just doesn't get better. So if you go to MetaxasTalk.com, you can donate there. But anybody who's able to give $15,000, and I know that's not many of you, but there are some of you out there, I want to offer myself to spend an evening, to have dinner, whatever context, you get to pick it, you get to figure it out yourself. And I just give my time. Obviously, I don't get anything out of it, except I get to meet people who care enough about the things that I care about. And almost always, that's a huge blessing for me to get to spend an evening with people who care about these things. So I just want to throw that out there. Anybody who's able to do that, $15,000, of course, is tax deductible, and it's going to about as important a cause as it gets, the Alliance Defending Freedom. And you'd have to go to MetaxasTalk.com, as I say, but anybody who can give, they're asking people for $100, MetaxasTalk.com. Please do that. We are in a war, I say this over and over again, for liberty. And if everybody doesn't put his shoulder to the wheel, every one of you, we're not going to win. Every one of us has to be involved. It's not like let the other guys do it. This is it. This is for your family and your future. So go to MetaxasTalk.com. Let me remind you again, we have a Socrates event Thursday. Please go to SocratesInTheCity.com. You can live stream it, but you have to be a member of Socrates Plus. So go to SocratesInTheCity.com, sign up for that. It's going to be with James O'Keefe. Very, very exciting. Anyway, we'll be back with more fun stuff. I don't care what they may say. Jesus is just a